Praise God, He is alive. Would you turn with me to our scripture text this morning, which is taken from 1 Peter, Peter's first epistle, the first chapter. I'll be reading verses 3 through 12. It's on page number 1886 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to turn to it there. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that shall never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may prove genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor through Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. What's coming up ahead? Facing the future, is there any hope? What in the world is going on? As I watch the 6 o'clock news, it seems like the world is falling apart. It seems like things are going from bad to worse. It seems like there's no good news. It's all bad. But the glorious truth of Easter is that there is hope when it feels hopeless. There is good news when it feels like all around all we have is bad news. Easter is a celebration of hope. The truth of Christ and the power of His resurrection is the opposite of gloom, doom, and despair that we experience all around in this world. Easter and the beauty of the cross blossomed on Easter means that life triumphs over death. Beauty over ugliness, truth over lies and deception. There is hope. In fact, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can have an anticipation of a bright future. By faith, today, we can have a positive outlook based on a faith-filled uplook, a positive outlook based on a faith-filled uplook. Future forecast, standing on God's promise. Let me read the key verse again to you. Verse 3, where Peter writes, "Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We can develop a positive outlook even though we're faced with all kinds of shadows and darkness and trials and tribulations in this world. We can have hope even when it seems hopeless. We can have hope for a bright future. Let's look at this passage together and see what it says for our lives today. Hope for a bright future includes two parts, God's part and our part. Let's consider God's part first. God's part in the hope that we have, this living hope that Peter talks about, is hope in God's providence. First of all, God's providence means that God not only knows the future, he sees the future. There's all kinds of future prognosticators in our world today. There have been down through the ages people who claim to be foretelling the future, psychic prophecies, horoscopes, fortune tellers, crystal balls. Actually, all of those occult, demonic deceptions are called divination and out of bounds, ungodly, according to the scripture. But God and God alone sees the future. That's what providence literally means. If you break down that word providence, it's kind of an old word that we don't often use today. Back in the days of our colonial fathers and mothers, back in colonial times, they would often use that word providence synonymous with God himself. What it literally means is not only does God take care of our needs and our wants before we need it and before we know it because he foresees this, but it literally means the prefix pro, for, or before, and vidience, okay? Video, you know what that word comes from. Some of you play video games. There you go. And things that you can see. Seeing before, pro video, providence. God has foresight, seeing what lies ahead, because he is already there, because he is eternal and present here and now and there and then. That's a mind-blowing thought. But the reality is that God knows what's going to happen before we do, and he provides for our needs before we need them, even before we ask him. God is taking care of us and looking ahead. Our bright future is guaranteed by God's providence, for he sees the future. And our hope is based on God's sovereignty because God secures the future. Not only does he see it, but he secures it in his sovereignty. God is not just passively present here with us today, watching from a distance, as you may remember Bette Midler's song a couple decades ago, from a distance. No, God is closer than you think. You may have heard that before. And God desires to be near us, to draw close to us, even more than we desire to be close to him. He is reaching out to you even before you know that he exists. God's power and his might extend to all of his creation, especially to his children. God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. He is able, more than able, to accomplish that which concerns me today. He is able to work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond that which we could even ask or imagine. He is able, for he who has begun the good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. I am confident of this. Jesus promised, in this world you will have tribulation. In this life, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. That's the good news of Easter. That's the basis of our hope for today, even in the midst of struggles and trials and tribulations, even in difficult circumstances, we can have hope and anticipate a bright future because God sees it and God secures it. That's God's part. Our part in securing this hope, this living hope that Peter talks about, is first of all, we need to let go of our past. We need to get past the pain and hurts of our past. Find freedom from enslaving addictions by God's power. Find relief from the daunting and haunting guilt of our misdeeds by God's grace and forgiveness. Find healing from a history of hurts by God's mercy. Find healing. Find release from the shame-filled memories of our past by God's forgiveness. Find victory over life's failings by Christ's triumphant resurrection power. This is our hope. Easter, a new birth, a new beginning, new life in His resurrection power. Move out, move on, move forward, for the best is yet to come. Easter assures us. Ask Peter. Peter, who's writing this passage we read, one of the apostles, one of the disciples, cowering in fear there in the upper room that first Easter morning when the women came back from the empty tomb saying, "He is risen, He's not there, He's alive," just as He said. Good news. He is risen. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ask Peter, ask Paul. For Paul knew, as he said in Philippians 3, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, to become like unto Him in His death, and somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained this, Paul writes. Not that I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, we can get past the past. And we can trust God for the present. There is hope as we trust God actively, relentlessly trust God with an active faith. No matter what your present circumstances, health deteriorating, investments dwindling, relationships fracturing, job security evaporating, there is hope. One constant still remains, rock solid as the rock rolled from Christ's empty tomb. He still moves stones, as Max Lucado says. Easter assures it. He lives and He is here. even now. Let go of the past, trust God for the present, and hope in Christ for the future. We can't live without hope. Without hope, all is lost. Down through the decades, Billy Graham preached this message that Christians have a message of hope for a troubled world. All throughout his preaching and evangelism, Billy Graham said, never abandon hope, for Jesus is alive. None of us are hopeless with Jesus in our lives. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, we sang. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living, all because he lives. Do you have this hope in your heart? Do you have Christ in your heart? Without Christ, you have no hope. But in knowing Christ, you can know this great hope, this living hope, hope that is the foundation for today and our longing for tomorrow as we look towards a bright future. In fact, an eternal future secured by his resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is alive. And hope is alive. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your immense love and amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, that you were not defeated by Satan or sin or death, but you rose triumphant, victorious over the grave, defeated the devil for all time and for all of us. Oh Lord, I pray that you would capture our hearts this Easter morning with the glorious hope, the living hope for great salvation in Christ. We thank you and praise you for this awesome reminder, this truth in which we stand and move and live and have our being. In Jesus' name, amen.